send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Thank you once again for taking time to tune into the broadcast this morning. Folks, this may be the most important message I've ever preached in all my years of preaching the present-day reality of the kingdom of Christ. As many of you have so astutely pointed out, normally in the beginning of my messages, I speak concerning current events taking place and then compare them with the reality of the kingdom of Christ. And there's a couple of things that came up last week that I'd like to deal with, but I may just have to save it for another time. If I've got time today, Lord willing, maybe I'll deal with them at the end of today's message. But I've got a feeling, though, that today's message may not be ended today. So I'm not sure I'm going to have time to do that. I'm going to deviate just a little bit today. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Daniel chapter 9 again. Now, this past week, I listened to several messages from my pastor, far and away my favorite preacher in America today. And that's Ted Weiland. And in one of those messages, he apologized for his repetition. And personally, I don't see any need for his apology. For those of us who are parents, I mean, how many times have we said to our children, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. And that's okay, because sometimes it takes being told something 1,000 times before we finally get it. You know, I'm encouraged that so many of you who have been following along with these messages are getting it. But I also hear from some people who the light just hasn't fully illuminated yet. And folks, that's okay. I get it. When you've been taught something your entire life, and then someone comes along and says, no, that's not right, or let's look at it from another angle, well, it may take some time to unravel all those many, many years of deception that have taken such a stronghold. And I understand it. I was about 21 years old when I came to the understanding of fulfilled Bible prophecy and the present-day reality of the kingdom of Christ. But when I was really young, I was the little kid in the light green polyester suit and tie sitting on the front row of every single church service, listening to the preacher and taking notes. Now, what I was being taught was not the truth, but, and listen to me, the word of God was spoken and it was heard. And when the word of God is spoken, there is a promise from God hundreds of years ago that says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So even though the quote-unquote preachers I was listening to were not handling the word of God with skill and discernment, the word of God had power in spite of them. And when I began to study the scriptures for myself with the key, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these scriptures that I had heard growing up all my life, they began to come alive and they began to come together and they began to make sense. The other day I was talking to someone and I quoted Matthew 24:34. Then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Now, I understand that for exactly what it says. And by now, I hope you do too. Jesus, to his disciples over 2,000 years ago, it happened to them or it was a lie. Well, then the person I was quoting this to said, see, Charlie, this was saying that to whatever generation it was that would be seeing those things, that generation wouldn't pass until everything came to pass. But that's not at all, not even close to what the clear, plain words of the Bible say. But because that person had had that deception ingrained into them for their whole lives, they heard some words that were said, but their brain told them something totally different. It doesn't make that person evil or bad, but it does reveal the need for that individual to be brought to the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. If we read the words on the pages of Scripture, and we're constantly being told, or it's constantly being brought into our minds that what we're reading is not really what we're supposed to know, or it doesn't really mean this or that, well, we've got big problems. And that's exactly where we are today. And the reason it happened is because when Jesus Christ was revealed to Israel in the first century, and he was revealed as the one born to be king, and even from the time of his birth, war was declared on him and on his kingdom. And because men refused to bow their knee to him and to his kingdom, and they want to hang on to their ways and their laws, their statutes, their statues, their treaties, and that they have enlisted and employed every facet of life from personal, business, amusement, power, and religion to war against the Christ and to do whatever it takes to keep people from finding the king and his kingdom and walking in it. So the common man has been bombarded from birth on with deception after deception from all points of life for the sole purpose of keeping that man or woman from finding the kingdom of God. Well, friends, I just don't know how to say this any clearer, any kinder, any softer. But if you or your family or your friends do not understand that Jesus Christ, that Yeshua the Christ, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords in total fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, and that event took place over 2,000 years ago and is not going to happen in the future because it already happened, then friends, they simply have never heard the gospel and they're in need of salvation. The urgency of the situation is great. A man's salvation depends on what he believes about Bible prophecy and the kingdom of God. So repetition is what is needed. Then repetition it shall be. So, Ted, if you're hearing this message, repeat the truth of the gospel of the kingdom all you want. Because I can tell you that for me personally, I can't get enough of it. I want to hear it over and over and over. Now, to Daniel chapter 9, repeating again, beginning in verse number 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. We've gone into great detail the first five aspects of verse 24, showing conclusively, beyond any shadow of any doubt, that those five aspects of Daniel 9:24 were fulfilled in Jesus, in Yeshua, because he was the Christ prophesied to come from Moses through Malachi, heralded then by the angels at his birth, the wise men from the east, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, the disciples, and by his own words. Clearly, the Messiah had come in the first century. And again, this is why the entire world marks its calendar with the first century. The events of the first century were so magnificent. This new world came with its own new dating system. All things had been made new. The everlasting kingdom of God had begun. Back to Daniel chapter 9. To say that there are thousands of years between the first week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel is taking the word of God and twisting it into something it does not say. It has been men and women dressed in wolves' clothing that have taken this passage and perverted it for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to make people believe that the king and the kingdom are not for today. Yes, Jesus can be your king all you want him to be, just as long as you believe that he commands obedience to earthly kings today. And then someday, he can come again and be a real king. Everyone loves little baby Jesus lying helpless in a manger. Everyone loves the crucified Jesus hanging helplessly, suffering on the old rugged cross. But hardly anyone loves Jesus as the all-conquering, reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords who commands obedience to his Father's laws right now. So the world with all its power, its godless power, the power of darkness, has paid men off with the tax-deductible gift and tax-exempt status to convince people that the kingdom of God is yet future. The prophecy found in Daniel 9:24 does not have thousands and thousands of years between the first week and the 70th week of anointing the Most Holy. It has 490 years between the first week and the 70th week. And the final aspect of 490 years concludes with the anointing of the Messiah as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The prophecy found in Daniel chapter 2 concerning the world kingdoms does not have thousands and thousands of years separating the first kingdom from the last kingdom. You know, false earthly kings for hundreds of years now have brought to themselves and their worldly coronations great pomp and circumstance, and the whole world oohs and ahs at them, while we, the true followers of Christ, have missed out on the greatest coronation ceremony ever known in the history of mankind because we were deceived into believing that the event is yet to come. The Messiah came in the first century. The Messiah was anointed as the most holy King of Israel and of all creation in the first century. The anointing of the king of Daniel chapter 9:24 is not a future event. It took place over 2,000 years ago in the final week of Daniel's 70 weeks, determined upon the city and the people. Look with me, please, to Daniel chapter 2. Now, we're going to go very quickly through this chapter where we find Daniel explaining Nebuchadnezzar's vision. We need to read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. This is Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Well, they answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll show the interpretation of it. Hey, just tell us what you dreamed, and then we'll tell you what it means. Well, the king answered and said, verse 8, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all those wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. They threw all of the king's phony prophets and phony preachers in with the true preacher. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel, or known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Yes, he does. In the old covenant world, he removed kings and set kings up. Good and evil, that's what he did. But in the new covenant world, he has set up one king. And I'm going to prove this to you in just a minute. And one king only. And he put all kings, all powers, all presidents, all governors, put them all out of business. And he put them all under his feet. And he has exalted one king to rule this world. He has given one king the power and authority ordained by God to rule the affairs of this world. He has not set up one, not one, earthly king in the new covenant world. And anyone who has called themselves a king since that time has done so out of pure rebellion to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because not only is Jesus Christ, is Yeshua, the Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he is the last of the kings that God allows for his creation. Verse 21, continuing, He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass, when? In the latter days. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the heart, the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest, till that a stone was cut out with hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so shall the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now watch this very, very closely, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And there will be no more kings besides this one, no more kingdoms besides this one. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So the question is now, when did verse 44 take place? Or has verse 44 taken place? Today's message has had a very thorough foundation laid that if you've listened and you've followed along, you should immediately answer that this kingdom, this last and final kingdom, was set up in the first century when the Messiah of Israel and the Savior and King of the world was revealed. The message of John the Baptist can be no clearer than what I've laid out in all these previous messages. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom that John the Baptist was preaching is the exact same kingdom that Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And this kingdom has a king. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. These are the same kingdoms that Daniel was talking about from Daniel chapter 2. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land Naphtalim by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the exact kingdom that Daniel was talking about, that he was telling Nebuchadnezzar about in Daniel chapter 2. After this manner, pray ye. Or after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, of course not now, Lord. Let's hold off on this for another 2,000 years or more. No, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 10:7. And as you go, preach, deceiving all who will listen to you, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom that the God of heaven set up, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Satan tried to offer Jesus these kingdoms. That's what he was doing in his temptation. But Jesus knew that he was the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2. He was the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 9. He was the Messiah. He was going to be the king of the kingdom that would never be destroyed. Satan's offer was laughable. Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, I will build my kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." But Peter, now, don't get me wrong, this kingdom that I'm going to give you the keys to, it's going to be powerless. It's going to be non-existent for more than 2,000 years now. And even though I told you I was going to give you the keys, I don't really mean for you to believe what I'm telling you. Because I'm actually telling you about a time period where men are going to take my words and they're going to change them into things that I didn't really say. And once that new evolved religion has occurred, then my words are going to be fulfilled. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That is hugely important. He wasn't called Jesus Christ in this verse. He was called Jesus the Christ. This is because the events that were getting ready to take place were going to be indescribable in human words. Verse 21, and the time wasn't quite yet for those things to take place. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will lose his life will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you," this is Jesus to his disciples over 2,000 years ago, "there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Why does the scripture use this type of language? If his kingdom was future, if his kingdom was still over 2,000 years away, why did he have to tell his disciples face to face, man to man, eye to eye, "Some of you standing here today, right now, right in front of me, are not going to die until you see me coming in my kingdom"? You know the answer, because the kingdom from Daniel chapter 2 was getting ready to be revealed. It was at hand. The time was at hand. The prophecies were fulfilled. The language is what it is because it's simple. It says what it says and means what it means. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you, this is spoken to those people over 2,000 years ago, but you are come. That's present tense. That's present tense language over 2,000 years ago. You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and ecclesia of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You can't read this chapter in Hebrews chapter 12 and say that it's talking about 2,000 years in the future, because it's clearly saying that it's to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. It's talking to those people that were reading this letter over 2,000 years ago. Verse 24 again, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now, over 2,000 years ago, but now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There is no way any honest student of the Word of God can read this passage of Scripture and look at Daniel chapter 2 and say that these are not the same kingdoms and the same kings. Daniel 2:45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Compare that to Luke chapter 20, verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? And he shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this that is written? What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Daniel 2:45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, Luke 20:17, and he beheld him and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. There is no way any honest student of the Word of God can read this passage of Scripture and looking at Daniel chapter 2 and say that they're not, these are not the same stones. Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, was the stone of Daniel chapter 2. He was the stone of Luke chapter 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Let me give you just a second to get there. I went to Luke 20 a little too fast. I hope that you will at least go back and look at that again to see that what I'm telling you is so. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God as precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. A stone, a stone, a stone, over and over and over, Christ is called the stone. And it was said so in the first century. He was the stone of Daniel 2:45. His kingdom is the final kingdom of Daniel 2:44 through 45. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. What generation? The first generation. The first one. The generation that ushered in the new world. The generation that ushered in the new covenant world. The kingdom of God on earth. The generation that concluded the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9. That's the generation that is being talked about here. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Because of their flesh? No, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, Daniel 2:45. It was given to these people, to those who believed that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies found in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 9. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Who is the king here of 1 Peter chapter 2. When we honestly look at these passages, there can be no doubt that the king here is the stone from verse 6. Peter didn't start this passage out talking about Christ the stone and the people who accepted him as a chosen generation, the holy nation, the people of God. Then in the middle of the chapter, start talking about a different king and a different nation and a different people. people that believe that way do so because they've been victimized by the ministers of Satan who have transformed themselves into angels of light for the sole purpose of making people believe that the stone called Christ is not the stone from Daniel chapter 2. They do not want people to believe that the kingdom of Daniel 2, 44 through 45 is the kingdom of heaven that John the Baptist said was at hand. So those miserable liars and deceivers altered our English Bibles, where in the 1599 Geneva, there was no mistake as to who the king was, because in the two times where the word king is found in this chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in the 1599 Geneva, king was capitalized. It was a capital K. In the first edition 1611 King James Bible, king was capitalized. Jesus is the king spoken of in 1 Peter chapter 2. And in every single English translation of the Bible since that time, they changed it to a small K. And they did so because they do not want people believing that Jesus was the stone, that Jesus was the king, that the kingdom of Christ that was preached by John the Baptist and the disciples and Jesus and the apostles was the same kingdom from Daniel chapter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake is also simple. What's an ordinance? Well, it's not the dumbed down modern understanding that whatever a municipality, which really should be called a principality, it's something that mere men have created to force others to obey. An ordinance is something that has the creator's best interest at heart. That's the definition of the word ordinance in the Greek. It's got the creator's best interest at heart. It's the king telling his citizens, if you love me, keep my commandments. For the Lord's sake, obey my Father's will. That's what an ordinance is. John chapter 12, verse 1. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I believe that in the Gospels we can point to several instances where Jesus was anointed, where the Most Holy was anointed in fulfillment of the final aspect of Daniel 9:24's prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. This is one of those anointings. Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this oil ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Good grief, these people had some real problems. Man raised from the dead. What a miracle. What a thing to happen. Well, let's just kill him too. It's what the priests did, what the preachers wanted to do. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Jesus was king. His kingdom came in the first century. His kingdom was exactly the same kingdom from Daniel chapter 2, that final kingdom, when all the other kingdoms would be broken into pieces and God was going to set up a kingdom which would never be moved. That kingdom was set up in the first century with the Messiah, with Jesus Christ, with Yeshua the King. In times past, I've made this statement. If I'm wrong about fulfilled Bible prophecy, then I'm guilty of giving too much honor to Jesus, giving too much honor to Yeshua. I've lived my entire life with the belief that the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. And I mean by that my entire adult life. I've lived my entire adult life with the belief that the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus in the first century. He was the Messiah. He was the King. There is no potentate, no other king, no president, no lawgivers that are operating under the authority of God in the new covenant world, because the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, and at that time Paul was still talking about the old covenant world, but also in that which is to come, the new covenant world. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If someday I stand before Almighty God and his Son, and they say, "Well, Charlie, you sure missed that fulfilled Bible prophecy teaching. And you know you tried to deceive so many people into believing that Christ is King. And you just tried to deceive so many people into believing that God is the only lawgiver and his Son is the only potentate. So, well, if I'm wrong, and friends, I don't believe it to be so. I believe the scriptures are very clear that the prophecies were fulfilled in the first century in Christ, in Yeshua. I believe that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is what the message was preached over 2,000 years ago. I believe that is at hand meant exactly what it said. The kingdom was at hand. The revealing of the kingdom, the revealing of the king that God would said that he would set up in the days of those kings. I will set up a kingdom. I believe that kingdom was set up in the first century, and that Christ and that Jesus was the Christ. He was king of that kingdom. And that kingdom is a present day reality today. And it's the responsibility of every living, breathing creature to conform to that kingdom and to his and to that king right now, today, for all of us to conform to his kingdom. If I'm wrong, and again, friends, I don't believe it to be so. Well, wait a minute. What if I'm right? What if I'm right? What if all the prophecies from Moses through Malachi, from John the Baptist and Jesus, what if they were fulfilled in Jesus? What if they were fulfilled in Yeshua in the first century? Well, if I'm right, and again, I absolutely believe it to be so, what about all those who will stand before Almighty God and his Son someday and hear them say, "Well, you spent your whole life trying to convince people that my kingdom was not available to people. When I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then you spent your whole life telling people that, no, he was talking about something in the future. That wasn't for today. Daniel, the kingdom that Daniel prophesied, that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar about in Daniel chapter 2, that wasn't for today. That was for thousands and thousands of years in the future. Well, you spent your whole life trying to convince people that my kingdom was not available to people, that my kingdom was future, and that men were to obey everyone else but me." Well, what's he going to say to them? What's going to be done to them? Friends, I've been so overwhelmed by the fulfillment of the final aspect of Daniel 9:24, in that the Most Holy was anointed inside the 70 weeks of Daniel. 1 hour can't do it justice. I can't do it justice. There are preachers out there that I wish that they would get this message and preach it like it's never been preached before. And go and find those scriptures and dig those scriptures out and show them and present them in ways that my feeble tongue ever could. But I just don't feel like I've done this justice. I want you to be in prayer with me over the next couple days to see where the Father would have me go for next week's message. I believe that I've spent all these many weeks preaching and advocating and laying the foundation for the truth that the kingdom came in the first century, that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and that He took it all back. And the reason that we're in the shape we're in today, not just in America, not just in Australia, but everywhere, all throughout this world, is because men have refused to believe and understand that the kingdom of God is a present day reality today. And it is the responsibility of all of us to live according to the kingship of Christ and His kingdom. But instead, we have fallen for the lie. And oh my goodness, I heard it again just this past week. Well, in fact, someone was even trying to tell me, well, Charlie, you know that Satan is the ruler of this present world. Oh my goodness, friends, he's not the ruler of this present world. Christ is. Jesus Christ is. But the reason that the things are the way they are is because we won't put Him there. We won't allow His reign in our lives. We won't allow Him to be the king of our lives because we're scared. We're scared of what governments might do to us. We're scared of what men might do to us. We're scared of what people might think about us. Folks, this can be turned around even with just a few people who will put Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, put Him on the throne of their lives and allow His reign in their lives today. But instead, so many make so many excuses as to why we won't allow His reign in our lives today. First and foremost, the biggest excuse is, well, it's not for today. It's a future kingdom. His kingdom is not supposed to be today. The kingdoms of men are ordained of God to rule today. Well, until we understand that that is not true, that has no biblical foundation, it has no biblical support, we're not ever going to see any change. Sadly, things are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. Men are going to have to rise up and say, enough is enough. The kingdoms of this world are not getting the job done. This is not the way we're supposed to be walking. And we've got to get Christ put on His rightful throne. There are no excuses. He's taken them all away. It is the responsibility of every living, breathing creature to bow the knee and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to do so right now and begin to take steps in our own lives to live according to the kingship of Christ. As always, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your comments regarding Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 9, 24. I'd love to hear what your thoughts and what your comments are regarding the present day reality of the kingdom of Christ. Send me an email, charlie@godsendusmen.com, and let me know how these passages of scripture and these messages have been affecting your life.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.
You are listening to Missouri Liberty Radio, talk and news analysis, Kingdom of God preaching, and Christian music exalting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.